He is the man for the Champions League Late Late Show as Cristiano Ronaldo breaks Atalanta hearts again.
Ronaldo scores! It's a shot in the blink of an eye on the volley from 20 metres and it's rasped into the bottom corner of the net. Only he could do that at such a time in the game.
Meanwhile, Barca's new number 10, Ansu Fati, comes to their rescue in Kiev. Juve and Bayern book their knockout spots in style, while Chelsea edge closer to the round of 16-2. Elsewhere, there were huge victories for Lille, Villarreal and Wolfsburg on another dramatic evening in the UEFA Champions League group stage. Okay, welcome along. I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to be looking back on another enthralling match night in this competition. Tonight, I'm joined by commentators John Bradley and Jonathan Beck, as well as European football expert Andy Brassel. And Andy, I feel like every single group night in the competition this season has delivered sensational drama, and tonight's no exception.
And late drama as well, yeah. not just any old drama. I suppose if you're going to have a shock right at the end of the evening, The most expected shock would be a huge contribution from Cristiano Ronaldo, and that's what we got once again.
We certainly did, didn't we, John Bradley? I mean, absolutely ridiculous stuff from him.
It's always him, isn't it? For so many years now, he has dominated this competition. He's made it his own with the goals that he scored. And the first goal, a quite wonderful team goal, but the second, a pure moment of inspiration that I think only a player of his calibre, very few players in the world could keep the composure to score a goal like that in that situation. And Atalanta were brilliant, you know, they worked so hard and they thought they'd done it, they thought they'd done enough, but you just can't legislate for what this man's done in the UEFA Champions League. Cristiano Ronaldo will live forever in folklore in this competition.
He's being interviewed pitch side now in Bergamo and it barely looks like he's even played a football match. He's been the decisive player. He is the player of the match as well for this one. Jonathan Beck, meanwhile, was watching Bayern against Benfica and there was one real star in this one too, Jonathan.
Yeah, Robert Lewandowski on his 100th UEFA Champions League appearance, scoring a hat-trick, getting an assist, and then also missing a penalty just for good measure. He had to wait for the hat-trick goal 84 minutes when it came, an assist from Manuel Neuer, a long clearance over the top, which caught Benfica out at the back. They had got it back to 4-2. The goal difference they thought might help them. Barcelona's win will certainly help them in terms of qualification, but it sets things up nicely for the Portuguese side. Bayern through then with 12 points from their first four games. Benfica with a couple of huge games to come against Barcelona and Dynamo Kiev.
Absolutely right. Okay, let's go through all the scores then on match day four Tuesday. In Group E, we just heard it there, Bayern 5, Benfica 2. Dynamo Kiev 0, Barcelona 1. That is a huge win for Barca in the competition. Group F, Villarreal 2, Young Boys 0. Atalanta 2, Manchester United 2, Group G, Wolfsburg 2, Salzburg 1 in the early kickoff, Sevilla 1, Lille 2 in Spain, and in Group H, Malmö 0, Chelsea 1, that was another one of the early games, and Juventus 4, Zenit 2. I suppose we have to start in Bergamo, where Atalanta and Manchester United came head-to-head again after that incredible game, let's not forget, a couple of weeks ago. John Bradley describes the action.
It's almost like a boxing match at the moment. Ball slid through towards Zapata inside the box. He does have support and it's Ilicic left footed. Oh, it's gone in. It's gone straight through the goalkeeper who couldn't hold it. And Ilicic strikes and Atalanta lead. Now Cristiano Ronaldo looks for a ball. Bruno Fernandes is in. Ronaldo. Oh, what a goal. Absolutely magnificent. Manchester United have played their way through the Atalanta defence with one touch passing at the highest order and Cristiano Ronaldo scores from 10 metres. It's Atalanta 1, Manchester United 1. What a ball for Zapata, who's into the penalty area and scores! And scores brilliantly! Although the flag goes up now, the referee puts the whistle to his mouth and says, goal! Brilliant from Duvan Zapata. He timed his run quite brilliantly and there's an eruption of noise
inside this stadium in Bergamo. Huge celebrations for the Atalanta players. They lead once again. It almost breaks on the edge of the box for Greenwood. Ronaldo scores! It's a shot in the blink of an eye on the volley from 20 metres, and it's rasped into the bottom corner of the net. Only he could do that at such a time in the game. Atalanta 2, Manchester United 2. Incredible.
And you're surprised and you're not. Cristiano Ronaldo over and over again. You know, the ultimate Champions League player. I mean, no one's done it like him. No other player in the history of this competition has done it like him in the Champions League. At 36 years and 270 days, he's the second oldest player in the history of the competition to score twice in a game after the great Pipo Inzaghi, 37 and 86 days against Real Madrid 11 years ago. Andy Brassel, where do you want to start with this one?
Well, I guess we have to start where it ended, because Ronaldo had such an astonishing late impact on the game, and you wondered where Manchester United were going to get anything from, because they looked quite uninspired, I thought, after that Zapata goal. They had a little bit of huff and puff, but it didn't really look as if they were going to create anything. Juan Musso didn't really have much to do. And the bit where Bruno Fernandes was brought off, you thought, well, they're just chucking random bits at something and hoping it will stick at that point. It was really difficult to see what the plan was for United at that point. But as I said in commentary, the contribution of Mason Greenwood, it was a terrific, and I think it will be underrated because the finish was so brilliant. It will be an underrated piece of creativity to set up the chance for Ronaldo in the first place. But just as Ronaldo came in with that brilliant performance in the FIFA World Cup qualifying playoff in 2013 to sweep away the Ballon d'Or, possibly yeah, from Franck Ribéry that year. Certainly Ribéry thought he deserved it after his contribution to Bayern winning in the UEFA Champions League. Ronaldo swooped in and took away the player of the match, which I'm sure would have been destined for Duván Zapata, not just because of his winning goal, but he was immense all night. He ran so hard, everything that Atalanta did went through him. The battle with Eric Bailly, who was outstanding on the night for Manchester United as well, was really, really satisfying battle. And it was interesting, after everyone gravitating to Ronaldo at full time, we just caught sight of Zapata and Bailly going straight for each other and swapping shirts and saying, "You gave everything, I gave everything," and it was a battle royale.
A lot of respect as well, really, for Bailly. It's only his second start of the season, played in the Olympics, hasn't played apart from one League Cup game. To come into that level of battle and play like that, a lot of respect for him. Manchester United were making lots of mistakes at the back tonight, just like they did, say, the first game between the sides, of course, or the match day three game between the sides. And Atalanta will look back on it and think, we could have punished them more and we could have been out of sight and not allowed Cristiano Ronaldo to do what he did. The funny thing is about when he scored, it comes up, it bounces up, the touch by Greenwood. But then, you know, this is the 93rd minute of the game. Bearing in mind that they've got, you know, stoppage time winners in the last two match days as well. But when he scores, all his teammates just sort of nod and put their arms up and follow him running off, as if to say, "We knew you were going to score." Because that's what he is. 138 goals now in this competition. I mean, he's a joke. He's an absolute joke. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't even know how to analyse him anymore. Because these kind of feats are just,
I'm telling you now, when people are talking about, you know, analysts, scouts, pundits, they will look at the way that his eyes lit up, his eyes went really wide, and then he got his body into the perfect position and then just hit the ball so cleanly. And that's years and years of practice. And I think the one thing that the very best analysts and those that have played the game will say is that Lionel Messi is the greatest natural footballer of his generation. But Cristiano Ronaldo is the best developed footballer of his generation that has worked so hard on his game to be as good as Messi. And that's down to not just natural ability, but also the hard work and
you know, the training ground effort that he's put in down the years.
Let's hear from him now. Cristiano Ronaldo said he knew it was going to be a tough game from his time in Italy.
Yeah, in the beginning was tough. We knew that Atalanta will do it, a lot of pressure. They have a fantastic coach. They know what to do all the time in the pitch. I know, because when I play in Juventus, they're always difficult to play against. And but I think we do with our job. We defend well. And we had a little bit lucky in the hand that I scored a goal, but this is football.
You wonder. I mean, there was a famous clip on TV in England post the initial meeting between these two clubs, between Paul Scholes and Rio Ferdinand, which sort of sums up how I imagine United fans feel, Andy. You enjoy the moment for what it was, a moment of individual brilliance that saves the game. Ronaldo, the great hero, has done it again. But there was it another match that exposed flaws in United's game where individuals have to come to the fore to get them out of the trouble? It feels like it's the same argument off the back of the match day 3 win as the match day 4 draw.
I think you're right, but I think also it shows the immense difference that Cristiano Ronaldo makes, because he has pulled something out of the fire in the last 3 games, not just this one game, but in the last 3 games, on his way to scoring in every group game so far. I would argue at this stage of the UEFA Champions League group last season, United had played considerably better. Yet they will qualify from the group this year, and they didn't qualify last year.
You think they'll qualify now, Andy?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, that goal makes an enormous difference. As John says, they would have been in third position had they lost that game, with Villarreal winning and Atalanta going above them as well. Now, Atalanta aren't out of this. I don't think we can write them off just yet. Of course, they still have to play Villarreal in Bergamo in the last match day, which I think is going to be pretty vital, and they still have to face Young Boys again as well. So Atalanta have their chances. That they will not get through if they miss chances like they have done over the last couple of games. But just really, it's about getting through the groups. I guess that's what Solskjaer and United would argue. The fact is, they played well enough to qualify from the group last year. They didn't do it in a very tough group with Paris Saint-Germain and Leipzig, and they were kicking themselves for doing that. Even if they got all the way to the final of the UEFA Europa League, they would have hoped to continue, of course, in the UEFA Champions League. But it is just about getting through, and they've got the player who can make it happen.
They certainly do. Okay, John, a quick one on Atalanta now. I mean, for neutrals, it would have been a heartbreaking moment because Atalanta played so well. They did in Manchester, and they come away from these two games with 1 point.
Yeah, I think what we need to put into context as well is that this is an Atalanta side that's been without almost the full defensive unit plus the two first-choice wing-backs for most of the match days as well. So let's give a lot of credit to the players that have played, the players that have come in, and to Gasparini as well, the coach, because he has got such a well-tuned, finely knitted outfit who can all work for each other, and the players that come in all know their roles and work so hard, and they have the X factor. Zapata in wonderful form, played up front on his own for the best part, and I mean, Maguire didn't seemingly want to go near him. It was just left to Eric Bailly every time he went forward. He had a wonderful game. So disappointed for him not to get a win that he probably deserved, and a lot of respect for Atalanta for the way they've gone about their business with so many injuries still.
Elsewhere in that group, Villarreal picked up back-to-back victories with their 2-0 success over Young Boys. Etienne Capoue with the opener, and it was his industry to turn over the ball near the Young Boys penalty area that set up Danjuma for the goal that made it 2-0. And given where they are in La Liga, Andy, 13th with just 2 wins from 11 games, that feels like that could be a huge victory for Unai Emery and his side.
Yes, it absolutely does. And that they managed to dig that out without Gerard Moreno, who was there in street clothes, I think that was pretty important. He's someone who is more than a goal scorer. He's a creative muse for them, really. But Capoue was excellent on the night. And, I mean, you just saw the joy getting his first Champions League goal at 33 years old. I mean, that's pretty special, isn't it? And at the other end of it, Danjuma has been really terrific in this group stage so far. And another good goal for him. And, you know, getting more games because Samuel Chukwueze isn't fit yet.
Yeah, so the group looks like this now. United top on 7 points. Villarreal Real also have 7, Atalanta have 5, and Young Boys have 3. Young Boys host Atalanta next, and Manchester United go to Villarreal, the team that beat them in the Europa League final last season. Okay, to Munich now, where Bayern hosted Benfica. This one was watched by Jonathan Beck.
Coman, right-hand side of the area, always drink past 3. Kingsley Coman chipping to the far post! It had to be Robert Lewandowski on his 100th UEFA Champions League appearance. It's goal number 79. Lewandowski 2. Oh, the comeback for Serge Gnabry. The backheel finish. It is magical. It's an exquisite second goal for Bayern. Mario's quick free kick, and they have scored next. Down the left-hand side, the cross for Morata. And on his Champions League debut, the left-back has pulled one back. Bayern concede for the first time in this season's competition. The shot from Goretzka came off Verissimo, and it's a penalty. The Brazilian defender used his arm. Who else but Robert Lewandowski would it be from the spot? Oh, the little stuttering run-up, he's missed it. On a century of Champions League appearances, he's got one. He should have had 2. Coman, Kimmich central. Looking left, he's found a good cross. It's nodded down by Davies. It's put in by Leroy Sané. Leroy Sané approaching the edge of the D. He rolls it into Lewandowski, who's through and dinks the goalkeeper and scores. Robert Lewandowski at the double. Bayern have 4 again against Benfica. It's Darwin Nunez and it's crept in. And Benfica have a goal back. Neuer with a long clearance. Neuer to Lewandowski. He's chipped the goalkeeper. And that is the goal. Robert Lewandowski with a hat-trick. It is Bayern 5, Benfica 2. There is nothing that this man cannot do.
Yeah, he was the UEFA player of the match as well. And I salute the number cruncher who got this one together. Robert Lewandowski, the first player to score, assist and miss a penalty in a Champions League game since Diego Costa in November 2013 for Atletico against Austria Wien. He had scored 14 out of 14 penalties in the competition prior to tonight. But I suppose, Jonathan Beck, this shows the mental resilience of Lewandowski. He did not let that moment right on half-time that would have killed the game affect him beyond that at 2-1.
No, he didn't. I mean, we know what a real ruthless striker he is. And you're right, he just carried on and carried on. And there was a moment when he'd scored that third goal when he turned to the assistant and waited for the flag. It didn't come because it simply was a ball from Manuel Neuer. And he looked like he was all on his own, him and Thomas Muller, with so much space. I hesitated and commentary thinking, where's the flag? And then he was played on, I think, by Benfica's right back. Way on the other side of the field, and he just lobbed it in casually, and that was that. It's ridiculous, you know. He's got to 100 games with 81 goals. At this stage, when Messi had played 100 games, he had 77 goals. Ronaldo was even further back from his 100 games. He managed 64 goals. That's 17 fewer than Robert Lewandowski.
He's better than both of them. We've done it, yeah.
Has he got enough time to surpass both of them? I'm not sure. But, you know, Bayern have equaled a record too. After 4 games, they've got 17 goals. That's the joint most, along with Paris Saint-Germain from 4 seasons ago. Wow. Benfica, well, they scored with their only 2 efforts on target. So, I mean, they can be proud of their efficiency, but not particularly proud of the rest of the finishing, because they had early chances to make this more difficult for Bayern.
Yeah, so the group now, and we'll get into the Barcelona game shortly, but Bayern 12 points through to the round of 16. Barcelona now second on 6 points after back-to-back wins. Their winner, Dinamo Kiev, through Ansu Fati's goal. Benfica on 4 points. Benfica take on Barcelona next in the competition. Andy, Bayern, in terms of their attacking play at the moment, I actually think this is the best I've seen them in a long time in an attacking sense. They're just absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I think there's a strong argument that they are the best team in the competition at the moment.
Yeah,
We know there's a lot of quality at the top end of it. But I was at the first game in Lisbon, and Benfica didn't play terribly. And they held them at bay for 70 minutes and ended up losing 4-0. And, you know, Benfica are an excellent side with lots of good players. I think this evening you have to treat it with a slight pinch of salt because Jorge Jesus, the Benfica coach, chose to rest a few players with them having a big game against Braga in the return. And I think he knows that their big game in this Champions League group deciding their fate is going to be the away game at Barcelona on the 23rd. That's the big one, really. But still, Bayern are absolutely irresistible. They only really have to turn it up for a small period of the game to absolutely destroy the opposition.
And just a quick one, Jonathan, that Gnabry goal was lovely, wasn't it? Tremendous from front to back, that finish.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Lewandowski. Let's not forget the fact that he was involved with his assist in Serge Gnabry's goal. A lovely ball from Kimmich over the top to find Lewandowski just to the right of centre in the area. He just clipped it back to his left, and Gnabry, first time, scooping it from behind him with his right foot and flicking it past into the corner, past Vlachodimos. It was a goal that you'll need to see to believe from Serge Gnabry, and that gave Bayern the platform to go on.
So elsewhere in that group, as I mentioned, Barcelona winning 1-0 at Dinamo Kiev. Ansu Fati, now wearing the number 10 shirt, just signed that new deal, didn't he, since match day 3, that long-term contract with Barcelona, huge for the football club. He then smashed in the winning goal after a cutback by Mingueza tonight. Lovely goal as well for Dinamo Kiev. A disappointing result. Let's get the thoughts of their midfielder, Carlos de Peña.
To be honest, I think today we deserve more. I think in Barcelona it was fair that Barcelona win, but today I think it will be fair to draw, because I think we did a very good game. We created moments. We had clear situations of goal. Of course, these games are solved in details. They were able to score, we didn't. And we go home a bit sad, because I think we deserved more and we did a good game until a very good team.
Yeah, and they remain on 1 point in the group, Dinamo Kiev. Barcelona move on to 6 points. On Ansu Fati, Andy, given the fact he's been out injured for so long, it really is impressive how he actually is stepping up. You know, you don't want to compare him to Messi, but he is stepping up to be, you know, Barcelona's future, and right now they're present as well, delivering them big moments.
Yeah, a lot is expected very quickly, and he's at the spearhead of such a young team, of course, at the moment. We know they're in a transitional phase, but they're the first La Liga team to start three teenagers in the UEFA Champions League, and we're talking about a team that was a winner as recently as 2015. So for him to carry that shirt, to carry those expectations and start to meet them, because it is vital for them financially as much as anything else, as much as sporting wise, to get to the last 16 is super impressive.
Brilliant save, by the way, from Marc-André ter Stegen to deny Victor to Gankov, which would have been an equaliser. Really good stop from the goalkeeper, who felt they deserved the victory.
Well, yeah, I'm super satisfied with the result, but nothing more, I think, because we deserve today the 3 points. But we had to improve in many things. But obviously, I'm very happy about the result and also that we kept a clean sheet.
And a big win for Barcelona, their first Champions League game since Ronald Koeman lost his job as head coach. Sergi Barjuan stepping up from Barca B to lead them to victory. Next up then on match day 5, Benfica go to Barca. The aforementioned huge game in that group at Dinamo Kiev host Bayern, Tuesday the 23rd of November. In Group H, a little early in the day, Malmö came up against last year's winners Chelsea. Former Chelsea striker Leanne Sanderson and Stephen Wyeth watch this one.
Now Havertz, who's able to get it back down the right-hand side for Hudson-Odoi, who's away from Brorson, and across the face of goal. And there is the opening goal that Chelsea have been threatening ever since we got back underway in the second half. A tap-in in the end for Ziyech, but it is a glorious team move that has had the finishing touch it deserved. It's Malmö 0, Chelsea 1.
Absolutely fantastic goal. I was even clapping when it went in. Fantastic ball from Havertz. Really good way to pass. That ball from Hudson-Odoi was fantastic. The timing, the weight of pass, and you know, the Malmö defenders tried, but that's a really, really good goal from Chelsea. Really good team goal.
As the full-time whistle is blowing, job very well done by Chelsea tonight, who dominated and managed the game exceptionally. It has finished Malmö 0, Chelsea 1.
Yeah, so Chelsea move on to 9 points. They're second in the group with 3 wins and one defeat behind Juve on 12 points, and we'll get to them in a moment. First, let's hear from Chelsea's manager, Thomas Tuchel, who admits it wasn't an easy night.
No, we knew that we have an emotional crowd here. We knew that they will maybe play with a lot of courage and will use the momentum. They had nothing to lose. So it felt like from the situation before the match felt like a cup game, and we had a lot of touches in the box and a lot of shots on target in the first half. We were not precise and clinical enough to score, but we waited for the one moment that decided the match. So I'm happy because this was a very, very important victory and we deserved to win, but was a tough one.
And they did it without Lukaku, Mount, Werner, Kovacic and Conte all unavailable for Chelsea. They've won their back-to-back games against the least favoured team in the group, Andy. And more often than not, that will put you on the brink of the round of 16.
Yes, and I think their patience was to be applauded. I think Malmo made it very, very difficult for them. Obviously, a few players missing for Chelsea. But the craft involved in the goal was really quite excellent, I thought. And really rewarded their perseverance.
Ziyech now the joint highest scoring Moroccan player in Champions League history, if you're keeping track of that, along with former Arsenal star Marouane Chamakh on 8 goals. I'm sure he'll surpass that. Elsewhere in the group, Juve 4, Zenit 2, Juve along with Bayern now into the round of 16. Paulo Dybala, the UEFA player of the match. No surprise, Andy, given his two goals, although one was a retaken penalty after encroachment in the area, and he went for the same corner, which I thought was bold.
It was very bold, considering he put it probably a couple of metres wide. Yeah, exactly. on the first take.
Lovely finish. Morata and Federico Chiesa scoring. Chiesa's getting a trademark goal, isn't he? Where he breaks into the bottom side and smashes it near post. I think that's becoming his thing. A massive win. Credit to Zenit, though, Andy, for a bit of fight in that game too.
Yeah, that's right. And they levelled it up, made it difficult for Juventus in the first half and kept persevering after Juventus really turned it on in the second half.
OK, Malmo hosts Zenit on match day 5. It's Chelsea against Juve at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea look to book their place in the round of 16. Finally, Group G, Wolfsburg 2, Salzburg 1. Wolfsburg's first win in the group stage and a first win in a first Champions League game in charge for Florian Kohfeldt since he replaced Mark van Bommel.
Yeah, terrific start for him. 2 wins out of 2. And given that he was relegated from the Bundesliga last season, he's someone who believes in bold attacking football. So it's nice to see him start to succeed.
And Wolfsburg now move on to 5 points, level with Lille, who get 5 because they picked up a win at Sevilla. Salzburg still top the section on 7 points. But for Lille, who've been struggling in Liga and in the defence of their title, and it doesn't look like they will, that come-from-behind win at Sevilla is absolutely massive.
That's right. Well, it was described in L'Équipe as a mountain for them to climb today, and they did it excellently, particularly after going a goal down. And they've started to put their chances away, even without Burak Yilmaz, who wasn't fit this evening.
Exactly. Lucas Campos put Sevilla ahead, then Jonathan Davis. David levelled with a penalty, and then Ekone, who was the player of the match, got the winner from close range for Lille. Absolutely huge. Of course, the main story tonight, though, is United's come from behind draw at Atalanta. Let's hear from their manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who was unsurprisingly full of praise for his star number 7.
Cristiano is just incredible. He's that's what he does. If there's anyone you want the chance to fall to in the last minute, and a difficult chance, you know, he keeps his eye on the ball. His technique on that volley is incredible. No one can question the character of these players, because they just don't give up and they don't give in and they keep going. And yeah, we had to make a few changes and they worked.
OK, let's get players of the night then, and I think there's going to be some very easy answers. Jonathan Beck, you can go first.
Yeah, Robert Lewandowski, 3 goals and assist. Never mind the missed penalty.
And John Bradley.
Eric Bailly. No, I'm only kidding. Cristiano, obviously.
And Andy Anion from any of the other 6 games in the UEFA Champions League.
Ansu Fati, vital, vital winner for Barcelona. Maybe he'll get to the Cristiano numbers one day.
Absolutely. The present and future of the Champions League on show. That's all we have time for tonight. And what a fantastic night of action in the competition. We're back again on Wednesday from 6 p.m. CET for full live commentary of AC Milan versus Porto. A cracking early fixture, and then Liverpool versus Atletico, played at that brilliant game in Madrid, of course, on match day 3. We also have updates of Borussia Dortmund versus Ajax from Germany, as Borussia Dortmund look to avenge their match day 3 loss. And remember to download our official podcast shortly after every single match night in the UEFA Champions League via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.